You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 62.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your mindful marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. I know how frustrating it can be to launch a new business, so I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, make money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can also be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders come together to discuss the latest strategies to implement in your business to make it a huge success and take the icky out of marketing. Joining me today is Ben Joya. Ben is the president and founder of Marketing with a Heart. According to Ben, the most effective methods of marketing, selling, and leadership are based on service. If you have the right intention and what you're offering will make a difference, you will change people's lives. Ben, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm really well, Kimberly. Thank you for having me here. And how are you today? Good, good. You sound like it.
I love it. I try and pass that energy through whenever I can.
Yes, you're succeeding.
So let's hear your story, your path about how you got to where you are today and this mindfulness with marketing and everything. How did you come up?
Yeah, thank you for asking. It's funny, every time I tell this story, comes out a little bit differently because it reveals itself a little bit more to me. I grew up in New York and spent, I guess, about 8 years in the New York magazine publishing world. And toward the end of that time, I really started getting a sense, an intuitive sense of the need to serve people and to be helpful. And I really wasn't getting that from the work that I was doing. Nothing against the work itself, but it just wasn't fulfilling me and touching my soul and really an expression of my heart. So did some traveling, moved out to California and started working with nonprofits and most specifically the ALS Association, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. And that really lit me up at the beginning because here was this direct opportunity to really help people and be in the trenches, so to speak, with the service. And then I started looking at it from a business perspective, from a bigger perspective. And in my own experience, and this is with a small sample of one nonprofit, I was just really seeing how ineffective a nonprofit can be in fulfilling its mission. It's not because of any bad intention of the people involved or the organization or its mission or vision, but just in its actual expression, relying on donors and events and things like that. So I was really, I ended up leaving that job for those reasons and some disillusionment in my own life. Just you're really realizing that I was not happy. As it wasn't just the job, but it was me. it started going, wow, there's something wrong is not the quite right, not quite the word, but something was out of whack and I couldn't put my finger on it. So I went and did some traveling again, and this time I was in India, and I had this experience of, in about 72 hours, almost dying 5 times, literally.
Which isn't, that's not how I want to put this. I've been to India, so I know how easy that can be, actually.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, because that is one of the places in the world, which I think a lot more of the world is like that than most of us even realize, especially in America, that that line between life and death is very thin, because there are no guardrails. You know, there are a lot of the things that we accept as the safety and the barriers don't exist in a lot of the world. And for me, in this case, I was, you know, it started in a bus where the bus was going up a windy mountain road. You know, we're talking about a 6,000-foot mountain. And, it almost didn't make one of the turns. Like, literally the back of the bus where I was sitting, you know, swung out so far that it demolished the guardrail and almost went off the side of the mountain.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the beginning.
That's just the first one.
Yeah. And we kept going up, and I was absolutely terrified. And this was before I had any kind of awareness practice or meditation in my life. So the only thing I could figure out to do was just to keep saying to myself, okay, I'm going to live, I'm going to live, I'm going to live, and keep sending whatever energy to the driver that you're driving well, you're doing great, we're going to make it, you know. whatever I could do to create an illusion of control. Because I had no control at that point. It was just like, okay, here I am, and this is what's going to happen. Whatever is going to happen is what's going to happen. So we made it to the top of the mountain, which was fabulous. I slept like a baby that night. And then my plan from there was to do a two-day trek, like a hike, through the mountains with a guide the next couple of days, and started the trek. And where we were, this is southern India in the mountains. It was a dry season. There had been no rain for 4 months. So there were literally farmers committing suicide because crops were failing. Really, really bad news across the board. And we were hiking and through, I don't know, kind of foresty stuff. Couldn't really see. We're up on the top of a mountain. And all of a sudden, there's all of this from the distance, all of this yelling, like really agitated yelling in language, a language that I don't understand. I think it was Tamil Nadu, where we were. And the guide turns back to me. He was walking in front, and he looks at me and he says, "Run." And I went, "Run?" He said, "Run." And we started running. And gosh, I mean, I had no idea what was happening other than, you know, one foot in front of the other, trying not to fall and slide down the mountain. And the only things in my head are, wow, it's either police chasing us or very bad people chasing us. And nobody was chasing us, but it's just, this is the, you know, your mind does what it does when you get scared. so we probably chugged along for about 15 minutes. I mean, this was not a short dash by any means. And we get to this plateau, and I turned to the guy and I said, "What the hell just happened?" and he said there was a fire and the villagers were trying to put it out. And I paused for a moment and I stood back and I looked around, and we're on one plateau, and the plateau to the left of me, there are 12 fires burning out of control. And the plateau to the right of me, there are 4 fires burning out of control. And I said, "Wow." And I just kind of took that step, took a moment, and I said, "Okay, I'm going to live. I'm going to make it through this. this is okay somehow." Yeah, and it went on from there. We the next day, we camped that night. And then the next day, we were hiking. And God, thank goodness I had this guide, because I would not have made it out of there alive, literally, if I wasn't with this person. We were walking along, and he stopped me at one point, and he said, "Snake."
Another word we don't want to hear, fire, snake.
Not at all, right? So I look down, and there's this tiny, I mean, a handful of inches long green snake that I never would have spotted, and apparently highly, highly venomous. So we stood there and had to throw little sticks to, you know, encourage it to move off the path. So we're walking a little more, and, you know, my mantra at this point is, "I'm going to live, I'm going to live, I'm going to live. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it," you know. So we get a couple hours further down the path, And I'm walking behind the guide at about 50 feet back. And he has a walking stick with him, like a nice carved heavy wood stick that he's using. And all of a sudden, I see him dead stop, look to the side because there's some noise kind of in the woods, in the it's not just bushes, but all of the vegetation there. And I can see his profile, and I see it starts with a look of kind of curiosity and looking really closely, and then his face drops, and then it turns to anger, and he lifts up his stick, like, over his head, like he's going to wallop something. So I have no idea what to do. So I run toward him because he's the guy with the big stick.
Right? Same universe.
Exactly. And just as I get to him, I turn to where he's looking and hearing all of that shuffling. And I see the back, like the hindquarters or the back leg of a really, 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 really big cat, like mountain lion or something. But fortunately running away rather than running toward us. So that was cool.
That's a better sight to see.
Tremendous. Yeah. God. So we continue along and we get to the next rest area, and gosh, you know, by this point I'm so exhausted. I have, my adrenals are shot. I mean, I have nothing left, and you know, I don't care anymore. Not dismissively as in I'm giving up, but just like, what, you know, this is just, here I am. This is what I got. All I can do is keep moving forward. And so we spend the night. Morning comes, we get in a Jeep to go down the mountain because that's the conclusion of this trek, of this adventure, because he's going to get me back to, or get me to the bus to go to my next location. And I get in the back of the Jeep. Jeep sits about 8 people, so I'm in the way back, and the guys who are loading us up come back over and they say, get out for a second. And they get out and they lift up my seat and they put a propane tank under the seat.
And like, they say,
okay, go ahead. I was like, oh my God. So I sit on the, on the bench above the propane tank. And, you know, as I said, this Jeep sat about 8 people. Between the number of people in the Jeep and on top of the Jeep, we have now 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, you've probably seen some of that.
Travel in India.
Exactly, yep. So the guy starts the engine, drives up a little bit, uphill slightly, to get to the crest of the mountain, to then start going down. So we crest the mountain, and he shuts off the engine. Because that's what you do to save gas, apparently. So we are going down this winding mountain road with buses and other Jeeps and trucks, you know, passing us, coming up, you know, in the opposite direction, horse-drawn carts on the road as well. And the whole time the guy is driving one-handed, talking intensely and animatedly to the other people next to him, you know, and looking at them a lot of the time. And with his free hand, he keeps changing the cassette because he's never quite happy with the music. So I'm in the back, like, looking at all at this thing going, you know, okay.
I'm going to live.
I'm going to live. It's going to be okay. And I did. And I made it.
Fantastic.
And yes, thank you.
So now we know you have a purpose, which is why you're still here after that crazy experience. So let's talk a little bit about that purpose and what you're doing to help people and using your marketing skills and how you transitioned into actually making that a business.
Yeah, thank you. So that's the perfect bridge to the next part of my story. Thank you. So basically I came back from India with this incredible fire inside to help. I assigned meaning to my whole experience of, okay, I knew I was here for a purpose anyway, but okay, my purpose is really clear. I need to help people. How can I do this? And I thought of all of the things that I had been doing and realized that I liked the power of business, as in what it can do when it's used the right way and used for good. And I like the intention of nonprofits, but I didn't like their lack of leverage, basically, in general. So I figured that I would, the best thing for me to do would be to help people who were helping people. So mission-based entrepreneurs, you know, companies that I agreed with what they, who they were and what they were about, and really thought, okay, what's the best way that I can support them? And it's in, it was in and around their marketing, because a lot of people either, you know, didn't do their marketing well, had reservations, you know, in your language, a lot of people were thinking that marketing and sales are icky. So running into a lot of that. So what I realized was part of what I could do was help people really see not only the utility of marketing and selling, but to actually show that marketing and selling are forms of service when what you're offering is going to help people and change their lives. And if you're not marketing your stuff, you're actually doing a disservice, because, you know, in and around the marketing itself, before anybody even hands you a dollar, you can influence them and change their lives by giving them a bunch of value right out of the gate. And then if they make the choice to then take that next step with you, you know, and invest in your product or your service or both, then you have an even greater opportunity to impact them deeply and really, really help them out. So that was where this whole, the nugget, I guess, of marketing with a heart came for me, even before I had a name to assign to it. And then the name kind of came up a couple of years ago. And before I even had a tagline, I went to an event and somebody said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I have this business called Marketing with a Heart." And they said, "Oh my God, I have to talk to you." And I knew that there was something there.
That's awesome. It's great when someone resonates with what you're doing. They're like, "Oh, I am onto something."
Yeah.
So what is your marketing tip for a mind, body, spirit entrepreneur? what's the biggest tip you can give them to get past some of that feeling of having marketing?
Yeah. I'm gonna break the rules and give two tips.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. So the first one is to, you know, get some kind of coach or someone who can really guide you on this path. You know, we as the experts that we are, as a mind, body, spirit entrepreneur, we have our expertise and our gift, and that's the thing that we should really be maximizing. And yes, we need to learn enough marketing to understand, you know, what we're doing, how to do it. But if we're trying to do it all by ourselves, it doesn't work. We're going to move at a snail's pace and really not be helping the number of people we could truly help.
And it truly costs us more money. The more you struggle by yourself, the more it's costing you to pay for your mistakes, truly. And then you're right, you're just not helping people. You're not being a service like you could be if you had a taken order with a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for saying that. And the second half, or the other thing I wanted to share is to really get a sense of copywriting. And not that you have to be an amazing copywriter, you know, and the type of people you see that are charging $25,000 for a sales page. No, you don't have to be that person, but just that you have enough of the understanding of how to use language as a tool of influence, and also that you really know who your audience is, you know, who you're speaking to, what their challenges are, what their dreams are, so you can connect your message and your offerings to their challenges and to their dreams and make them realize that you are potentially, you know, the answer or one of the answers to what they need. Because, you know, people, we humans, we have such a natural resistance to so many things, right? There's some still, like, some lizard brain survival stuff still happening where, you know, where somebody says, "Oh, you need to do this." And there's that, "No, I don't." And there's, you know, "Why don't you try something new?" And there's a small part of us that's like, "I don't want to," you know, what, so when we're, when we're reaching out to people through our marketing, whether it's in print, you know, video, audio, or even face-to-face, you know, a conversation is marketing essentially. There is the person we're talking to, there's a barrier up already. And our job is to poke a few holes in that barrier, not as a form of manipulation, but as a way to kind of break them out of that that kind of habitual resistance, to get them to think and open for a moment to what we're actually saying and what we're offering. And then we can educate them and then see with that person if we're a good fit and if there's a good, you know, if we should proceed moving forward. And I think, you know, just keeping it as a win-win for both people, right? That it benefits them and benefits you. I think you really can't go wrong in and around your marketing.
Absolutely. Yeah, people don't like change, that's for sure. So if we can show them how to change and make their lives better, that's what they need. That's the solution.
Yeah, yeah.
So what marketing strategy is working best for you to reach your ideal client?
Yeah, so a couple of things. You know, there's word of mouth is still a great, great thing. You're going to hear, well, you Kimberly, the greater you who's listening to this to this podcast. But there's so much marketing around, you know, automate your business and you need the email list and, you know, you want to get all your virtual ducks in a row so you can find people on all the different social media channels. That's all true. but we, you know, never neglect the fact that word of mouth is still a really, really powerful tool. And it's not just word of mouth, but if you are serving people, giving them some kind of transformation, some kind of support, go ask them, you know, who do they know who they think you can be of service to as well, and ask them to make that connection and not just to send your name along to someone, but to send an email and CC both of you. So it's delivered as a conversation, as a warm lead, literally. So that's one strategy that it has always worked for me. And I think part of it is just because I love people. I love talking to people. I love meeting new people. So it just makes sense for the type of person I am. And then number two is what we would call in the industry, you know, that direct response model of marketing, where somebody comes to your website, you give them something incredible value as an incentive to get on your email list, and then have that automated response of emails that continues the conversation and positions you as the authority and cultivates trust and makes these people realize that you're a likable person, and keep giving them value and then invite them into some next step. You know, so you build a relationship and build a lot of trust and show someone that, you know, you very likely are the answer to what they need, and get on the phone with them or get on Skype or get on, you know, get face to face, however you can get face to face. You know, there are a lot of people who rely on sales letters, on long form sales letters or short form sales letters. Sales letters can be great, but I think especially if you're starting out or if you want to be hyper efficient with your time, skip the sales letter and invite people to a webinar and educate the heck out of them, give them a ton of value, and then invite them into some next step, into an offer, because your conversions will be a hell of a lot higher than they will just from a straight sales letter.
The authentic connection, as long as we're authentic with who we are and really connecting with them, that's so important.
It is. It's amazing.
So now, I know you're an author. So how did you go about your process of creating Marketing with the Heart, which is the title of your book? Did you self-publish? Did you go the traditional route? And what were the lessons you learned through that process?
Aha. Okay. How long do we have?
Not that long.
I know. I can do the nutshell for sure. First and foremost, I had a coach helping me with the writing. Pardon me, not with the writing itself, but in the conceiving of the structure and the positioning in and around marketing with a heart and what that means, my framework for marketing with the heart is people, purpose, and profit. And I go into that in depth in the book. So this coach helped me identify those concepts and then helped me identify a fourth concept, which is the underlying piece of everything, which is principles, right? The guiding principles for everything we do, and our principles being the thing that we can always go back to as a filter whenever we're making a new decision. Okay, does this actually align with my principles in and around business, in and around life, etc.? So I got these four principles established, and this person made a really, really good suggestion for the actual architecture of the book. And then I did a bunch of writing. I took blog posts. I took discussions that I had with clients. I took things that I remembered from mastermind calls and when I have received coaching from other people, and made the content for the book be, you know, have a bunch of fact and actionable stuff, and also a lot of story, because story is a really great way to connect with people and to work that left brain, right brain learning.
Say that three times fast.
thank you. So that was tremendous. And then, yes, I self-published. I published on Kindle first, and then I waited a few months to publish the print version, which was really good, because it's amazing when you finally get it published, or for me at least, you finally got it published, and I looked at it and I said, oh my God, I forgot this huge thing. So instead of having committed at the front end to 1,000 print copies, let's say, and then go, oh, darn, I forgot X, the Kindle was a nice way for me to see it almost objectively, because I could go look on Amazon and go, okay, there's my book, let me check it out. So I did a revision, and then I actually learned from that experience, and I said, you know, let me not print 1,000 books somewhere. Let me use CreateSpace, which is print on demand.
Amazing. It's an amazing transition, isn't it? Like, suddenly we can script whatever we want.
Oh, it's so fantastic, because, you know, print on demand, for in case anybody who's listening doesn't know, is if somebody orders a book, they'll print a book. If somebody orders 10 books, they'll print 10 book. And the unit cost is quite low. It's astounding. And the other thing that you can do, or that I have done a couple of times now, is I've actually uploaded revisions to my content, because I realized that there were a couple of tweaks that I made. And so, warning to all the perfectionists out there, be careful. Because at some point you need to let it go. But in the big picture, to have that ability to easily make some key changes to something is really, really tremendous. And I think a tremendous, tremendous support. And just the very last thing I want to say about writing a book is write a book.
Just do it, right?
Just do it. Yeah. People, you write the book. I mean, you may, Kimberly, I know you know this, but for our listeners as well, that whole thing about perception of expertise and having a bit of celebrity because you're an author, it's crazily true. I mean, as soon as I published that book, people were like, oh my God, you wrote a book, you know. Yeah. And it positioned me completely differently. And I'm officially the marketing with a heart guy now. And for me, I'm just in the process of bringing public speaking into the mix for my business. It's so critical to have a book as a public speaker, as a speaker. And especially a book like mine with a big picture of me on the front, because I'm that guy now. And there's a tremendous direct association.
Yeah, it's funny, the perception, right? People think, wow, you're an author. It's fantastic, and I know, let's tell listeners, it's not that hard to do. You just really need to sit down and knock it out. Although I can't really talk, because I have to admit, I haven't gotten mine out there yet, but I have a very good reason that I won't disclose here, but okay. There's really exciting stuff coming out, and so the book got put on the back burner for that. But it'll be even better when it's all done.
Exactly. Yeah. Because sometimes I think that's the other part of this too. And I'm glad this has come up, you know, right. The entrepreneurial path, let's say, you know, point A to point B, there are so many twists and turns and ups and downs and bumps and bruises and all of these things. And I think it's critically important to realize that that's just the way it goes. So to not take it personally, you know, even when things seem like they're never happening or they're taking a really long time. But B, at least in my experience and a lot of my colleagues and clients as well, if you're just doggedly persistent and you really, really keep your eyes on the prize, on your vision, and you recognize that there are the twists and turns, when you finally get to that place, like Kimberly in your example, when you get that book out because of the neat things that have been happening recently, all of that is going to inform that book tremendously, and I think position you even better than your book would have positioned you, let's say, 6 months or 12 months ago.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Cool. Well, I look forward to reading it.
So as an entrepreneur, what is one piece of software that you couldn't live without?
I'm gonna answer two again.
Of course.
Because I'm such a pain in the butt sometimes. WordPress for websites, tremendously helpful because it's a scalable thing. So you can, you know, just get a basic site up, and everybody, if your site isn't up, get it up. Just get something up there because you can always tweak it and add to it. So just the utility of how simple or how complex it can be. And then number two is Lead Pages. Which is a piece of software where you can build landing pages, opt-in pages. You know, you can just...
I totally lost you at Lead Pages. I don't know what happened. It went totally silent.
Okay.
So, I don't know what... See, so that was at minute 32. I'll have to make a note of that. So okay. Let's go ahead with Lead Pages.
Okay. Yeah, the other piece of software is Lead Pages. And for anybody who doesn't know, it's a piece of software that you can simply, quickly, and easily build landing pages, webinar registration pages, opt-in pages, things like that. You don't need to know any coding. You don't need to know how to design stuff because they have amazing templates in there that have actually been used in the marketplace and are proven for their ability to convert. A little footnote on that one. Your lead page is not just going to convert because it's has converted in the past. You know, remember that you need to know your audience. You need to know what they want and be speaking to them in their language. But if you know your audience well and what motivates them, you can quickly get a webinar registration page up, get a bunch of people on the phone and invite people into your coaching program. You know, and you could do that by the end of the week. So go do it.
You're like, get on it. It's massive action, right? Taking massive action gets you to where you want to go.
It's amazingly true. Really, really true.
You wait, you'll be in the same place tomorrow, and that's not where we want to be.
Absolutely not.
So where do you see yourself going now and building your platform? What are your next steps?
Yeah, so as I mentioned briefly before, bringing public speaking into the mix. I just finished my brochure, really, really happy with it. And I am doing the outreach and the connections for speaking. I have a gig, an official gig in May, which I'm really, really excited about. And so building the other pieces for that as well. And expanding my coaching program. I've been focusing on services as I've been building my business with a little bit of coaching on the side. And my intention is to do more coaching and less services. Coaching and speaking are more nourishing to me, and they're more fun. So I want to keep that as my vision. I'll do services when it's appropriate, and I do have a team that works with me, so that really facilitates that. But again, yeah, just coaching and speaking, I really love. And my second book.
Nice.
Yeah, I was in... I I'm a regular meditator, and I did a 10-day retreat over Christmas and New Year's this year. And on, I think, the fourth day, I sat down, and all of a sudden, the entire second book just showed up.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't instantaneous, but it there was that glimmer, and then I was like, okay, wait a minute, what would that look like? And, you know, I'm trying not exactly to think about it because I'm at the meditation and I'm trying to do the practice. But then it's just coming through my mind, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let that play in the background. You know, like let the circus come bouncing past. I'm going to do the practice, and then I'll remember what I need to remember when I get out of this retreat. So I got back, you know, 9 days later or 7 days later, and took a bunch of notes, and I'm ready to go. I'm not going to start quite yet because there's a couple other projects that I need to move to the next levels before I sit down with the book. But yeah, I will complete this book by the end of this year of 2015. I'm sorry?
You have a title for it yet?
Oh, a title. So, yeah. No, thank you. This is funny. So my first book is Marketing with a Heart. I was thinking Business with a Heart.
Oh,
right?
I like it.
Yeah. And then I went on Amazon and somebody has Business with a Heart. I know. And good for them, because I'm glad there are other people in the space talking about this stuff as well. You know, awesome. I applaud them, even though I was a little bit jealous. Yeah. But I have some other working titles that I'm kind of bouncing around in my head. You know, things about just, you know, doing business for good. It's that kind of energy. And the nice thing about book titles is that you can have subtitles too. And that can really, really clarify what the book is about. So I think I need to reflect a little bit more and write a little bit more to really zero in on what that title is going to be.
Fantastic. You have any last bit of advice to an entrepreneur out there that's thinking about starting their business and maybe hasn't quite made the jump yet? A last little golden nugget.
I do. Kimberly, you may have heard the story. Our listeners may have heard the story of that conquistador. I think Hernando Cortez, mm-hmm. who went to conquer the New World or explore the New World, and he's the one who took down the Aztec Empire. I'm not crazy about the story because it's a drag that he did that. But he did this really, really interesting thing where he got all of his soldiers off the boat or off the ships, and then they burned the ships, right? Yeah. So there was no way to go back. The only way to go was to go forward and to achieve victory. So for everybody who's listening, you know, take a moment and reflect, like, what is a way that you can burn the ships and leap forward? Now, this is not, be smart about this, you know, don't put yourself out on the street and in, you know, crazy, insane amounts of debt and, you know, give up your family life. And it's not about that, but we all have something that I think we hold on to as a form of security and stability, when in reality, there's nothing in the universe that is stable. So what is that thing? And is it keeping you from kicking butt as an entrepreneur, and how can you let it go, whether it's letting it go in an instant or building out a reasonable plan where you can get that out of the way in the next 6 to 12 months and really move forward, because the world needs what you have right now. You know it, I know it. So don't waste time. And as I can tell you from India, you know, if you end up on that bus or in front of that mountain lion and it doesn't go so well, you know, you want to have made your mark and done your thing on this earth before you go.
That's a beautiful message. I have to say, I think there's a book somewhere about that India trip. I can feel it.
Thank you. I think so too. Yeah.
It sounds like a fascinating trip. Mine wasn't quite that interesting, which I think I'm glad for.
Sure.
So where can my listeners find you if they want to find out more about you and what you do and your marketing with the heart?
Thank you. Yes. So I'm at marketingwithaheart.com. I invite everybody to please come check out my website. There's a lot of good information there. You can also get a free chapter of my book. So I encourage everybody to do that. It goes into more depth about what I've talked about today, both on the, I guess, the 30,000 foot view kind of theoretical level of ethical marketing and trust-based marketing. And it also talks a lot about things you can do right away in your business to make things better. And then I, at the beginning, on page one of my book, I actually have a gift. and you can get that gift also, you know, just by downloading that free chapter. And it's something that would be really, really helpful for you for creating content and distributing it among the different social media channels and repurposing it without driving yourself bananas, repurposing content.
You said it so well. Well, thank you so much for all of your wonderful information and your time with us today.
You're welcome, Kimberly. Thank you for having me on. It's truly been an honor and a pleasure.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.